What's going on, Nashville? Welcome into the Friday edition of The Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. Ryan Porth is on vacation for the next week and a half, as tomorrow he says, I do. So Marquise Munson and I are going to be holding it down for you during that time. Marquise, what's up?
What's up, Chase? What's going on, bud?
You know, I'm feeling
good. How was your birthday, man?
Birthday was great. Birthday was awesome. I've had like 3 days of a birthday, and you, I appreciate that. You have put a lot of that together, so it was fun to be around a bunch of people that care about me and I care about them, so it's been good.
And you got to get some spaghetti, man, so it's always good when you get to eat spaghetti on your birthday.
I did, and for those of you listening and know my noodle habits, I did not get buttered noodles. I actually got spaghetti.
You did, but I'm not going to lie. That's like the first thing you mentioned when you looked at that menu. Ooh, they got buttered.
I know.
That is the very first thing you said, and I was like, oh, he's probably going to get that.
I thought about it,
and
but
you changed
the game.
I'm
33 now, so I'm going to pretend to be grown up, but, you know, we never really grow up.
I mean, we don't. Because I can eat spaghetti. That's all I get, the spaghetti. I'm not getting nothing fancy.
You got some marinara sauce, and everybody was giving you crap for it. I'm like, what's wrong with good marinara sauce?
I said, give me the most basic spaghetti you can possibly cook up in that kitchen. Marinara sauce, and that's it. That's all I need. Who else needs anything else?
You like your spaghetti like you like your girls, basic.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
I hope one of them's not listening.
Just kidding. So baseball has their return to play plan. They're going to report on July 1st. We know it's going to be a 60-game season. I read this article on ESPN, and this actually was a discussion last night amongst the group of teams built for that 60-game season, because I immediately got excited thinking about my Braves because of the pitching. I mean, they have all these young pitchers, but they also have Felix Hernandez and Cole Hamels that I don't know how much is left in the tank, but for 60 games, I'll take what they got, because those veteran guys, I think, can add something to that rotation, and not to mention the lineup that they have with Acuna and Albies and Swanson, and adding Marcell Ozuna to the mix as well. So I feel really good about my team. However, most people tend to look west to a team that you cheer for, and that would be the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, us? Oh, man. I don't know what to say. We're the favorites?
I think you are.
For another season? So another season of being the favorite and possibly getting disappointed at the end of the season? I love it, man. This is exciting.
Yeah, but it's only 60 games, so you may not get disappointed this time.
Yeah, I may not. But look, and I thought about this too when I saw that the Dodgers were the favorites. And I was like, okay, so are we built to win this? And obviously, when it comes to our bats, like, we're good. Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger. I mean, I can just stop the list there. I could also talk about that beautiful man by the name of Justin Turner, but that's someone.
I love that beard.
I do. He's fantastic. I never leave the Dodgers. He's my favorite Dodger. But then I started thinking about how they are going to manage the bullpen, because really that's been the biggest issue, especially postseason, of managing the bullpen and kind of that rotation. So I started thinking, okay, if you have 60 games, are you comfortable with starting Kershaw for 20? Or do you drop him down less so he can be healthier in the playoffs? Do you give, you know, Walker Buehler 20 games, you know, to pitch this year, and then, you know, hopefully Kershaw will have less games so he can be healthy? Do you play, you know, David Price, who we got from the Red Sox, do we play him more games this year? You know, what are you going to get out of Julio and Alex this year as well? So that's my biggest question with the Dodgers, is just how they manage the bullpen within those 60 games. Do they give Kershaw less so he can be more prepared for the playoffs?
Yeah, I do think David Price helps you out in this situation, because even though he's an older player,
he does.
Acquiring him, you know, it's like I look at the Braves with Cole Hamels and Felix Hernandez, that you want to keep them healthy. They got to stay healthy, but you're not going to ask them to do as much as you would over a 162-game season, so they could really help you. So that's where I believe some of these veteran, older pitchers that – you knew weren't going to make it the whole season really come into play, because you'll get some of their best stuff really when you need it.
Yeah, I miss Rich Hill he had a special place in my heart. He was Old Reliable to me. So hopefully David Price can fill that Rich Hill role of every time I see, like, the Dodgers will be down in the series, and then I can see, like, Rich Hill is going to pitch next game, and I'm like, okay, I'm comfortable now. I'm good. Rich Hill's got this. He's Old Reliable. He does not let me down, especially in the postseason. So hopefully David Price can fill that role. And, you know, Julio's young, but, you know, hopefully, you know, this is his year to have kind of a bigger role in the rotation. So that's really my biggest concern, you know, is just that bullpen and how they manage that, especially with the closers as well. You know, a lot of times that I thought they would go to Jansen, they end up going to Kelly. So that's going to be my question, because Dave Roberts has a major problem with how to manage his pitchers. And that's always
say your biggest worry should be your manager.
His management. He has less miles clock management when it comes to his pitchers, not knowing when to pull guys out of the game, not knowing when to put in his closers and bring a guy like Jansen in. There was an opportunity in that Nationals series where I thought, why are you not putting Jansen in, or why are you putting him in this late? You know, and that's been the biggest problem. So I'm not worried about the hitting, because I think we got that on lock. I think we're probably one of
You have one of the best lineups.
One of the best. Maybe you can make an argument for the Yankees, of course, who was also a co-favorite in this whole thing.
The Braves.
Okay. I watch Acuna hit a grand slam against the Dodgers. You know, yeah, okay. I watched that live. It was awful. My heart dropped.
Like, you were at the game?
Yes. When Acuna hit that grand slam against the Dodgers in the playoffs, I was in the stands.
Oh.
That was the game I went to. Remember, I went because that was a Sunday game. And they played Sunday and that Monday. So I was like, okay, I'll just go Sunday, and hopefully they just close the series out that day, and then I can just watch them close the series out. And then, and Walker Buehler was on the mound, and everybody was chanting, walk him, Buehler, like, you know, just chanting bad stuff at Walker Buehler. I'm like, he's got this. And then here comes Acuna, and I'm like, grand slam. And I was like, this guy. Man, this guy really.
He's so cocky, and I kind of like it. I love that about him, actually.
Yeah, and then you had Yasiel Puig trying to match up with that, and Manny Machado trying to do the same thing, and I'm like, man, okay, this game's over. I'm on to the next game, and then Monday we close series out.
Speaking of Puig, this is a sidebar here, but this free agent league that the Nashville Sounds may host, I mean, to my knowledge, Puig hasn't signed anywhere, right?
No, he's not. So he's eligible. So look, if I see sleeveless Jersey Puig walking around Broadway, that is going to be fantastic.
I like it.
I like it.
But I actually saw him play at First Horizon Park about 3-4 years ago. He was with Oklahoma City. I don't know if it was an injury stint or he'd just been sent down, what it was, but he played there.
Wow. That Dodgers game was the only time I ever got to watch Puig play, and that was not his best performance. That was awful. Because obviously, this year that we're talking about, this was a couple years ago, this was like the precursor of, you know, Yasiel Puig getting traded to the Reds. And then Manny Machado leaving and going to the Padres. So that was this is the whole start of all that stuff. So that was the last time I got to see him play. But man, it would suck though if they would not allow fans in there, because there's going to be so many free agents that are going to be here that you may not get an opportunity to watch again. And he's one of them. And I don't know if he'll probably be the biggest name out there. Maybe he is, you know. But I think that would be great if they allow fans in there.
It would be awesome. It would be fantastic. We just got to get to phase 4. Here in Nashville,
I think by that time, if we're if we're going through phase 3 the right way, wearing our mask in public and, you know, following the guidelines and all the rules, I think we can get there before this happens.
Yeah,
and hopefully, so we can get at least a few fans in there to go see Yasiel Puig and a bunch of free agencies play. But I'll definitely go. That's pretty cool.
615-737-1025 on our text line. How do you feel about your team in 60 games? You feel confident that they have a chance to make a run at it in a shortened season? ESPN, the MLB insiders, did a story where they basically gave their thoughts on pick one team that could thrive during a 60-game season. So this is how they voted. Three votes for the Dodgers, the Angels, the A's, the Braves, the Brewers, the Padres, the Rangers, and the Reds all got one. But the team that actually led the way, the Rays.
Interesting.
Four of the insiders voted for the Rays. Why the Rays? This is what June Lee says. Given the increased importance of every game in a shortened season, strong bullpens will be more vital than ever. Year after year, the Rays find ways to pluck great relievers seemingly out of thin air, and I expect 2020 will be no different.
That's not where I was going to go with my long shot. I think actually the Angels. I was thinking the Angels because I think they're long overdue for a good season, especially like here. It's just wasted years for Mike Trout at this point. And I think if there's any year that they're going to kind of get over that hump of we're finally going to be a playoff team, I think a 60-game season is the perfect time to do that. So that to me, they were my long shot. And I know I'm sticking in L.A. here, Anaheim technically, but I'm sticking in that Southern California realm. But I do think that if I had a long shot pick, it would be either them or maybe the Detroit Tigers.
Ooh. I don't know about that. My long shot, and I don't know if you can really say it's a long shot, and I hate saying it because they're in the division, but the Mets. I think the Mets are built to do something in 60 games too. The Nats, I believe, will fall off. I don't think you're going to have to worry about the defending World Series champions. I think they're going to fall off. The Yankees will have something to say about it. Red Sox, I mean, they obviously lost Mookie, so you know that's a big loss that your Dodgers gain. But that's the whole point of this is so wide open now. With 60 games, I mean, you just let a team get hot for a few weeks, and they're going to be right in the thick of things. So it's the same playoff format, though, that we're used to. It's not an expanded playoff, but I think it'll be fun down the stretch, and that's where baseball has an opportunity to get, you know, to correct some things of getting some fans in and getting them to watch and pay attention because of this format. So I do think it'll be pretty cool. But with all that said, and we've had this conversation before, Marquise, but with a shortened season, you know, if the Dodgers win or if the Braves win, how are we going to feel about a championship because of this season? How are we going to feel in any sport with this weird format? And if a team wins a championship, like if the Preds win the Cup? We'll discuss that when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Welcome back into The Rundown. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson here with you. He's back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Nate on our text line says, I feel like the Braves with a younger team could pull it off. How do you feel, Chase? I feel the same way. I think they have a mix of veterans and young players that are going to make them a really tough team to beat. But with all that said, I respect the Dodgers. I respect the Dodgers, and I think there are going to be other teams that we're not even mentioning making a run at a championship. And that leads us into our next discussion. And again, we've had this before about baseball specifically, but I'm going to open it up to all sports. I'm even going to include the NFL. So let's say the NFL does get delayed, and the NFL, they can't get 16 in. Maybe it's 14. Maybe it's 13. Maybe it's 12. Something like that. That they can only play those amount of games, and your team wins the championship. You know the reason. Now baseball is different. Baseball probably they could have played more games had they gotten their stuff together, but they're going to get 60. But the NHL, their season was shortened. The NBA, they're coming back with unique playoff formats. You know, the MLS is going to have that return to play tournament and then hope to play their regular season. But all championships are going to look different except for the NFL right now. College football, who the heck knows what's going to happen there. So how are you going to feel about it? I'm going to feel different. If baseball, I'm going to feel like I'm missing something because I'm going to know that it was other reasons. But it's definitely going to feel different for any of my teams if they win the championship.
Yeah, I think it varies between the sport. Because I think if it's NBA, where they finish majority of their season already, and it's all going to depend on what team actually wins, and usually the favorites, you know, the top four usually win the NBA championship. So if it's the Clippers, the Lakers, or the Bucks, if they win the championship this year, you know, I'll probably look at it as they probably were going to win anyway, so it doesn't really matter. you know, they were the favorite going into it regardless. So, you know, I wouldn't look at it. Now, let's say the Pelicans win or the Suns win the championship, I may look at it like, maybe they were just the healthier team at that point. But when you look at, I look at some of the previous NBA seasons that had lockouts and you know, shortened seasons. I look at that Spurs team that won a championship. I look at that Miami Heat team that won the first championship of the Big Three, you know, in a shortened season. So I look at it like that, and I'm just like, I just don't think it really is a big deal. I think it's just the matter of sport.
Yeah, I do too. I understand. And I'm kind of the belief now, like, if the Predators win the Stanley Cup, I actually think that team is built for this type of format. They were playing better as the season, you know, wrapped up and ended up stopping on a dime. They were playing better. I like both goaltenders. And, yes, I'm obviously wearing the gold-colored glasses, but I do think that they're built for that. I think the overall favorite would probably be Colorado. And I've thought that all along. It doesn't matter the format. I just think that's a really good team. So I wouldn't be surprised if Colorado wins the Stanley Cup no matter what. But I also look at it like this. This is the year for – it's already been weird. 2020 is just going to go down as weird. So if there is an upset in some of these tournaments, especially in the NBA, because I don't have a dog in the hunt. I don't have a favorite NBA team. So if – like the Grizzlies went on this run and ended up winning it all or something. I think that'd be fun. That's just me. I don't know how diehard NBA fans like yourself would feel, but this is the year where the unexpected should happen, and that's what's going to – that's an element that's going to draw people in.
Yeah, but there's so many teams in the NBA that could win the finals outside of those three favorites that I named. I can see the Celtics winning the championship. I can see the Mavs winning. I can see the Raptors. I can see the 76ers, a healthy 76ers team winning it. I can see – there's a lot of teams that are in this bubble that I can see winning. Now, if it's – like, even the Pelicans, when you look at, you know, having Zion healthy, when you look at the Blazers, who are a 9 seed right now, who they got their players healthy. Maybe they don't have Trevor Ariza, but they got a healthy, you know, Nurkic. They got, you know, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. And there, to me, I don't want them to get the 8 seed because they got to play the Lakers if they do get the 8 seed. And they're probably going to be the most dangerous team, you know, going into the Western Conference. So when I look at the landscape of the NBA, I'm just like, it's pretty much wide open with the exception of the, you know, the Suns and the Kings and those bottom tier teams. Like, I don't want to see the Orlando Magic, or I don't want to see the Wizards win the championship. Bradley Beal carrying a team all by himself to win a championship. But guess what? It's just, and it's with every sport, it's going to be a matter of who manages this whole thing better. And that's what's going to be key. Who manages all of this better? Who managed to keep their players healthy during this time? You know, had the least amount of players test positive for the virus.
And that's going to be key.
Exactly. So,
because you're probably going to have that's not to cut you off. You're probably going to have that happen. That there is going to be one of your main go-to guys. That there could be at least one where at some point during this they test positive and they got to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah, just imagine. And I know they're all in this bubble, so it's kind of hard to contract that virus unless it's amongst people that are already around you. So, but just imagine you're headed to the Western Conference or the NBA Finals, and all of a sudden your best player, you know, gets the virus and he has to quarantine for 2 weeks. You know, that's definitely going to play an advantage on the other team. So it's a matter of who manages everything better. And we're going to see. So if the Blazers end up doing that, then so be it. They win the championship because it's all going to be about who manages it better. Same thing for hockey when they do their bubble. Same thing for MLS. MLS is a little different. I look at their championship a little different because we only got 3 games from MLS, maybe 2 at the most or at the least. So, you know, theirs will be different. But NHL and NBA has played their season. They've pretty much have played majority of their season, at least 80% of it. So I'll look at it as, look, the people that won the championship, you know, those are the people that won. And I won't think anything of it. And hopefully nobody else does. Hopefully if the Lakers don't win, they don't look at it as, oh, that's a tainted championship. No, it's not. They were going to probably win anyway.
615-737-1025. Your team wins the championship in any sport. under these scenarios with coronavirus. How do you feel about it? Josh says on the text line, if the Braves win the World Series and or the Preds win the Stanley Cup, I will proudly wear those championship hats. So that coming from Josh. Nate wants to weigh in. Nate, what's up?
Hey, guys. First off, if the Preds do win the Cup, can we have a COVID-19/20 championship hats and T-shirts made up?
Just That's to actually kinda, a good idea.
Just to kind of push it to everybody else. But it does depend on who wins, because what if the Hawks win or the Canadians or even the Blue Jackets? The Blue Jackets were decimated, so everybody's – not everybody, but a lot of hockey people will say, oh, well, the Blue Jackets probably would not have won because they had so many guys out. And it depends on kind of what division you're in, because in the Western Conference, Central Division, you know, we have huge rivalries with the Hawks and the Blues and all of them. So if we won, the Hawks, Blues, and whoever else would just say, oh, y'all only won because it was COVID.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen. Thanks for the call, Nate. That's going to happen. That's going to be the fun part of it. I mean, if the Dodgers win the World Series, I'm going to give Marquise crap about, oh, yeah, it was a shortened season. If the Braves win, he's going to give me crap. Ryan, same thing with the Reds. That's just going to be the fun, you know, part of it. But we all understand baseball, though, I'm going to keep saying is different because they could have had more games. They chose not to play nice with each other. But if the Preds win the Cup or the Hawks win the Cup, I mean, yes, with any team that wins the championship is going to face some sort of yeah, but at the end of the day, under the rules, they win. That's how I'm going to put it.
Yeah.
Under the format, under the rules that have been laid out by the leagues, that is your champion. And they did everything that they were supposed to do to win that championship. So it's a unique year. We're always going to remember 2020 as a year, as a sports year, because sports stopped. But at the end of the day, whoever wins it, wins it.
Yeah, I look at it like this, especially, and we all know this from watching years of playoffs of, you know, with various sports, that once you get into the playoffs, that's a whole new season. And it starts a brand new season. We've seen teams like the New York Giants who end up beating the undefeated, you know, New England Patriots in a Super Bowl. We've seen the Nationals last year beat the Dodgers, who were the favorite to win the World Series. And all of a sudden, the Nationals make this huge run into the postseason and they win the World Series. And we've seen the Seahawks, who are a 7-9 team in the playoffs, beat the Saints. So once we get to a playoff scenario in any sport, we always see a difference in play in everybody. So we have to just go in with the mindset that that's what this is, that this is a new season. This is the postseason that we're so accustomed to seeing. Yeah, it may be some of the teams that you didn't expect to get in there. You didn't expect the Blackhawks or the Washington Wizards to ever be in a position to where they have a chance at a championship. But guess what? Every time somebody makes a postseason, it is always a brand new season. Same thing for the Titans. We're talking about the Titans possibly not even making the playoffs. Talking about them drafting another quarterback. And then all of a sudden, they beat the Patriots and they beat the Ravens in the playoffs, and it's a whole new season. So as long as fans go in with that mindset that, look, this is a brand new season, this is like any other postseason that we ever watch, then I think whoever wins the championship, it's not going to matter.
Do you think that it changes from an NFL perspective? Let's say that, and we're going to get into the NFL wanting to start their season on time, but if their season gets shortened or something happens with that season, does that, you know, is that going to change? Like if the Raiders, you know, that you knew they, under a 16-game format, they weren't making the playoffs, but if they end up playing only 13 and they get in, does that change anything, or is it the same? Do you look at it the same way as the other sports?
No, I'll look at it the exact same, even if it's the Jags. Like, because at this point, yes, it's that bad. Yeah, even if it's the Jags, because look, when you look at baseball,
only they would do that, yeah, though. That would screw up their entire future. It would. That.
It's like, hey, we didn't get Trevor Lawrence, but we did get a Super Bowl. So, I mean, let's balance this thing out. But there's a lot of uncertainty with both MLB and the NFL because they have not started yet. Yeah, we got the picture perfect, you know, NBA season and NHL season of where we knew who was the best teams and who was not the good teams. So we have an idea on who's good and who's not. We don't know. We don't know. We're trashing all these teams in the NFL that are potentially bad. They could be really good. The Miami Dolphins could be really good this year. We just don't know because they haven't played a game yet. Same thing. Like, we can talk about the Marlins. Like, yeah, they may have a long shot, but guess what? We have not seen them this season yet. Not one game. And they can be a completely different team from the team that we expected going into the season. So, to be honest with you, with those two sports, it's not going to matter because we don't know the identity of any of these teams at this point. Because all it's been is speculation. That's all we do every offseason with sports, is speculate how good and how bad a team's going to be. But we just don't know, especially with less games, with, you know, obviously with more preparation because of the, you know, that pressure to have less games, then yeah, we may see a team that we did not expect to make the playoffs make a run at a Super Bowl or a World Series this year.
How concerned are we about the NFL starting on time? Dan Graziano from ESPN gave some thoughts on that. You'll hear that when we come back on The Rundown. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to donate to Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee to support their mission of feeding hungry people, as well as other ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. Welcome back into The Rundown. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson hanging out on a Friday as we wrap up this week. So how concerned, or is there any concern about the NFL starting on time? Dan Graziano, NFL insider of ESPN, says the league is optimistic that the season will start on time.
In terms of starting the regular season on time, the league is still optimistic that they'll be able to do that, and they're trying to confront the problem that's directly in front of them right now while also planning for that big issue down the road of how we get a season off the ground. You know, talking to league officials on a conference call after the owners finish their call, everyone still seems optimistic that they will be able to start the season on time in their regular stadiums. I don't get the sense that the cancellation of the Hall of Fame game is an alarm bell in terms of the potential for starting the regular season.
That's something that Floyd and I were talking about yesterday as I fill in on Jared and the GM, Marquise, is that's the first blink of an eye, or however you want to put it, by the NFL of canceling an event. The Hall of Fame, they're moving the enshrinement to next year for this year's class, canceling that game. That's the first time that they've actually had to cancel an event. I know they didn't have the draft live in Vegas, but they did it. They did the draft. They did it virtually. They have adjusted, but they're not going to play the Hall of Fame game. So I know when I got that news, I was like, oh, here we go. It's real. But at the same time, there, and as Greg Williams told us yesterday, we had Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams on, and he said, I can give you a billion reasons of why we're going to play. And he's absolutely right.
No, absolutely. I think they'll still play. Now, canceling the Hall of Fame game was I wouldn't even say alarming, but it was kind of a wake-up call of like, okay, now we got to start thinking about the NFL and what they're going to do, because we've had all these questions and we've been distracted with trying to figure out when's baseball going to start? How's the NBA bubble going to work? What are the two NHL hub cities? We were so worried about that we kind of ignored the two other sports that start in September in the NFL and college football of, you know what? What are they going to do? I know they're outdoors, you know, and maybe that makes it a little easier for them to play games. But like, how are they going to do this? Is there going to be a second wave in October, or, you know, in colder weather, you know, season? So we kind of shied away from the NFL and college football because they've made adjustments. Like we saw with the draft, we saw with, you know, how they handled free agency. We know what college football is doing with SEC media days this year, you know, doing that virtually. So everything they've done, they've had to adjust, with the exception of actual gameplay. And it's going to be tough, man, because yeah, I think they'll cut down some preseason games, because if you're going to cut one, you know, Hall of Fame game, and that's a week before you actually start preseason games, what makes me think that you're not going to cancel you know, at least one or two preseason games because they're a week apart from the Hall of Fame game that you just canceled. So that's going to be the question is how much do they start cutting into their schedule week by week? Now, they canceled the Hall of Fame game. They really didn't give details on, you know, why they canceled it or whatever because, you know, they always have this like we're optimistic that the season's going to start. We're hopeful. We know that the season's going to start. Then why cancel the Hall of Fame game? And so that's my question.
Limit exposure. I mean that's a part of it.
Yeah, but then that makes me think: are you going to start doing that to the preseason games? Are we not going to see the Titans play the Redskins that first week for the preseason? And the answer is probably going to be no. They're probably going to start cutting down on those preseason games. They probably will cut it down to at least two preseason games. So, but then do you start cutting down the regular season games after you're done cutting off everything? So. Look, I don't know.
That'll be the last thing they do.
Yeah, exactly. So I just don't know because we haven't, like, we talk about Rob Manfred and we haven't heard anything from Rob Manfred and Tony Clark about their plans of starting the season. We hear from, you know, Adam Silver and we hear from, you know, Gary Bettman about what they're going to do. But we really haven't heard from Roger Goodell at all about how they're going to actually go about trying to start the season.
Yeah, and you know, it's been reported, and Dan Graziano said it yesterday, that the expectation around the league is that the preseason will at least be shortened, like you were just saying. And I totally believe that that's going to happen. I think two preseason games is all they're going to get. With the rosters, the way they're going to be on the practice squad, the GMs are going to be able to put some players on the practice squad, try and store them there. They still got to whittle 90 down to 53. That's not an easy task by any means. So, you know, how much are veterans going to play in those preseason games if they only get two? Or are you going to just rely on your younger players to try and see what you have? That's where, with the Titans only having three quarterbacks, I would think that if it comes out soon that they're only going to play two preseason games, I think you're going to see the Titans sign another quarterback because – you don't want to go into two preseason games with three because I don't think Tannehill plays much. So that would be my opinion. And maybe they're able to have a battle for that backup spot that's more than what they have currently on the roster. But I believe they are going to play 16 games. They're going to figure this out. It could be without fans. I know the Giants have said they're going to let fans have cardboard cutouts of themselves that they can put in their seats and try and do some things like that.
Yeah, that's kind of corny.
It is, but it's funny.
it's funny, but it's just like, yeah, that's kind of corny. But you gotta adjust.
The thing that I'm a little surprised of that we haven't talked about is, okay, it's all around the same date that camps are opening. You know, July 8th, MLS is going to be playing. July 10th, the NHL reports. NBA is going to be playing by the end of July. July 1st, baseball reports. If you're the NFL and you know that there could be a second wave, why would you not consider reporting early? And instead of July 28th, which is when most teams will report, why wouldn't you just say, hey, we know everybody's at home. We know everybody's been working out. We've just reopened the facilities. Let's just go ahead and get guys in here like July 10th and go ahead and start our training camp. And then if you have to adjust some other dates, you already got the players ready to go and warmed up as you learn more and talk to experts. That could be a crazy idea. There may be too much involved to do that. I know the TV networks would have something to say about that of moving, you know, if you move some primetime games around, but they also haven't had programming for the last 4 months from a sports standpoint. So I don't know. I don't know if that's been discussed or if I'm just crazy.
So I'm going to ask you then, because we did this with the baseball, and is baseball, the percentage of baseball coming up with a plan, are you 100% that the NFL is going to start on time?
Oh, 100%. I can't say I'm 100%. I would say I am 85% they start on time. I'm pretty high, but I'm not going to say 100%.
I'm going to say 70%.
So you're a little lower.
I'm a little lower. Because I just don't know how – and we see with other sports, everybody's playing within a bubble. I don't know how you play stadium to stadium, traveling, and I just don't know how you pull.
Well, baseball's going to do it.
Yeah.
But they're going to stay, you know, geographically close to
that's the thing, though. The NFL already has their schedules. So do you adjust the schedules then? You know, do you have the Titans play, you know, the Denver Broncos in the season opener? Or do you change it up and flip it to where it's people in this area? Maybe you have them play the Falcons, or maybe you have them play, you know, obviously within their division. Do you change the schedule at that point?
If they were going to do that, I don't think they ever would release the schedule, because they released the schedule when the pandemic was well underway. So I feel like if they were in this could be, this could turn out to be a big error on the NFL's part, but this is something that I know we've brought up on the Midday Show quite a bit. Of the NFL has basically gone business as usual, and we're targeting starting on time and playing our normal schedule, and they release the schedule that's going to have a lot of travel involved with these teams. So I think you make a good point, but my counterpoint is if they were going to do it, they already would have.
But even they got blowback from doing that, from releasing the schedule, because of that uncertainty of, like, we don't know if the season's going to start. Why are you going to schedule the Titans playing the Green Bay Packers when we don't know if they're going to be able to travel to Green Bay to play that game?
Yeah, and so, that's what I'm saying, though. If, like, they're going to have egg on their face if all of a sudden this thing gets even worse and they're not going to be able to play, start on time or play this schedule, that they do have to go into adjustment mode. Then you're going to have people like me going, well, why did you release that in the first place? You knew this had a good chance of happening. So why did you even come out with the real schedule? And why didn't you just wait and see how it played out?
And now they're going to have egg on their face, because I just don't see this being possible at all to do. I just don't see it. Now, hopefully, we can, flatten the curve a little bit to where it's a little bit more comfortable. And then also we got to take into account, maybe it's going to play on the different states. You know, obviously we have to be in phase 4 for us to have sporting events. There's other states that are not even close to phase 4. They're in phase 2 still at this point. So now, then it's all going to depend on the states and then everything. It's just, it's mind boggling. And I want it to start, but I'm 70% on both college and NFL of whether or not they start on time. I think they'll play, but I don't know if they'll play on time. I think there's going to be a lot of adjustments because those two already have schedules out. So now it's going to be a lot of adjustment and a lot of headaches, because I have a headache just thinking about how they're going to figure all this stuff out.
We got a text that says, I thought the Hall of Fame game was the kickoff to the preseason. If not, do those teams play 5 preseason games? So if they canceled that game, wouldn't you think the first preseason games would be canceled? So, yes, the Hall of Fame game technically is the kickoff to the preseason. It is a week before the regular preseason starts, and it's the Hall of Fame ceremonies always around it. And yes, those two teams, the Cowboys and the Steelers, would have had 5 preseason games, but it's separate. So it's canceled. Now they just have 4 preseason games right now. I still say they're going to reduce the number of preseason games before they actually kick off. But hopefully that answers your question. When we come back, Marquise, Vince Carter has called it a career. And I think we both feel just something's missing and wish that it had ended better. We'll talk about that and other players that we wish their careers had ended differently. We'll do that next. The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, We Want the Smoke here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So you are a big Vince Carter fan, and I think I am too. I mean, Vince Carter played for a long, long time, most notably with Toronto. Put Toronto on the basketball map, but played with other teams too. I mean, he bounced around 8 teams total, I think it was. Is that right?
Yep, 8 teams.
8 teams total. He officially called it a career. I mean, when he took that last shot with the Hawks, the night that everything was going down and we knew the NBA season was gonna be stopped, it was kind of known then. Like, they brought him back into the game. He had a wide open 3. Everybody just backed off, let Vince take one. Everybody knew that was probably going to be it for Vince Carter, and he officially called it a career, but didn't win a championship. And just one of those great players, Hall of Famers, that you sit there and you go, you hate to see how it ended, because I think we all wanted to see him win a title at some point in time.
Yeah, I did especially, man. Vince Carter, like, my top – I have a top 10, top 5 player list, and Vince Carter is definitely on that list. I grew up watching Vince Carter, love Vince Carter, especially if you've never watched that dunk contest. I don't know where you've been living at in sports. Even if you're not a basketball fan, I'm pretty sure you've seen that dunk contest, because that was what, you know, revitalized the dunk contest with Vince Carter. So, you know, and he's not just a great dunker, you know, he was a really productive player throughout, you know, every year that he's been in the league. And, you know, I just hate how it went out for him, man. And this was supposed to be like his kind of farewell season. I was hoping that he'd get like a last game to where he can, you know, be remembered as who he is. But, you know, but unfortunately with this virus, it messed up a lot of things, you know, student athletes and people who are retiring and a lot of other things. So it sucks for him. But, you know, I wish him all the best. I think he's going to end up being a coach in a few years. So look out for that. He will be an assistant coach in a few years. I can guarantee that.
Well, he's on my NBA 2K, my league. He's the head coach of the Magic, so he's doing well.
A former team that he played for,
yeah,
for two seasons. So.
Yeah, he is doing well with them. So other athletes, and the question isn't necessarily that didn't win a championship, even though I do believe that can certainly play a factor here, but that maybe their career it just didn't end the way that it should. They either fell off or they went to another team and it just didn't work or what have you. But a couple of examples that I have, this is one from the NFL that really popped out. LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, didn't win a title.
Yeah.
He was always a Charger, and then he goes to the Jets. And it just you forget those years. It didn't feel right because he was one that he should retire a Charger. You wanted to see that. But he was trying to win that ring, and it just didn't work out for him. So that was a big example. Another one that actually – we lived here in Nashville, Randy Moss. Randy Moss, you know, playing for three teams that year. He sat out a year. He came back with San Francisco. Just was never the same, you know, once he left New England. You thought the reunion with the Vikings was going to be cool. That didn't play out. They put him on waivers. He ends up with the Titans and I think has one catch maybe for the Tennessee Titans. But those two from the NFL kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, mine is probably my second favorite player of all time, and that's Allen Iverson.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
It's a no-brainer for me. He just, like, when he went to the Nuggets, it was cool. Like, you know, after his stint with the 76ers and they didn't win a championship, you know, teaming him up with Carmelo, that was pretty cool. I had a Iverson Denver Nuggets jersey that year. And, you know, I thought that was cool. You know, him and you know, Carmelo was averaging over 25 points a game together, even though they played no defense. But then after that, it was just like a slow downhill. You know, he ended up going to the Pistons, and then, you know, that didn't work out because he wanted to start. And
did
you know,
play like one game with the Grizzlies?
Yes, and he ended up playing for the Grizzlies after that. And then he returned to the 76ers. And although he was on like a streak. He was playing pretty well for the 76ers. And he even got voted into the All-Star game. And then all of a sudden, you know, his daughter had health issues and he had to like step back from basketball. And then he ended up playing in like a Turkish league at one point. And then he officially retired after that. So I wish the 76er run would have lasted at least till the end of the season, so at least I can get the satisfaction of like, yeah, he, you know, his last game was awful. His last game he played, they played against the Bulls, and that was like a 32-point loss against the Derrick Rose Chicago Bulls. So, and that's the last game. Like, not everybody gets to get that Kobe game. You know, it's Kobe's last game. He scores 60 points, and you know, it's he wins against the Jazz. A Jazz is one of the teams that he competed a lot with in the playoffs. So, you know, obviously, not a lot. Everybody's not going to get that. Everybody's not going to get that John Elway send off. But I wish his was a little bit better. You know, because I mean, he's regarded as one of the best two guards to ever play the game, and that's he had to play in a Turkish league, and that's the last basketball he's played. He did play in the Big Three league at one point last year, and he had like 1 point that game. And I was just like, God, man. I just wanted AI to just retire, just like Kobe did. Just like, this is my last season. I'm going to play this out and then, you know, let the season end. But he didn't get that opportunity, unfortunately.
I'll say this, and he obviously won six championships. but I could have done without Jordan and the Wizards. I watching the Last Dance reminded me of that it sucked how it ended with the Bulls and the reasons that it ended with the Bulls, because we'll never know. It'll be one of the greatest, you know, mysteries, what ifs of all time. Could they have won 7? Could they have done the four-peat? But just end it there, because I get that the desire was there, but he was a shell of his former self. You know, he said, I think the first year he averaged 20 a game or something like that, but it's like, this just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it does. He should have retired in 98.
I mean, he's not playing for Phil. He's not with the Bulls. It's just everything was just weird. So I've always had an issue with that of how it ended for him. A couple of other examples that I'll pull out. And I was never a fan of this guy in the NHL. I respected him, but he was one of those that got under Predators fan skin. Jerome Iginla spent a long time, just actually got elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame. He spent a long time with Calgary, but then he bounced around towards the end of his career, you know, chasing a cup, trying to get it, never got it. And he's one of those players that you're always going to look at him and go, Calgary, yet he bounced around towards the end of the year. And I just think that that doesn't take away from his legacy, but it kind of stinks. And then Ken Griffey Jr., I always thought that he might be able to actually win one, whether it was in Seattle or Cincinnati. But, you know, then he bounced around, went to, I think, Chicago, and then back to Seattle when he called it a career. And so that was 22 years in the bigs. Hall of Famer for sure, as we know, he's in the Hall of Fame. But I wish he had won a championship, and I wish it had been like he hit 600, goes out on top, and that's it.
Yeah, and one more real quickly to kind of keep it a little somewhat local is Penny Hardaway. That's another guy like I wanted a lot of success for, and then he left the Magic, and then obviously went to the Phoenix Suns, and injuries played a big part in his career. But
that's a
then
good one.
Then he went to New York, and he started dipping into the single digit score, performance. And then he went to the Miami Heat. He had to sign a veterans minimum contract and to play with Shaq for one more year. And then that's how his career ended. So it's just, I wish Penny would, cause I think Penny's a Hall of Famer. That's just me. And I'm biased because of that. I think if Trace McGrady's a Hall of Famer, I think you can also put Penny Hardaway in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying, but I think Penny's definitely one of those guys.
I agree with that. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Rundown. Marquise and I will be back Monday starting at 9, but stick around. Darren Donick and Chase, that's next. I'm on Jared and the GM today starting at 2 on ESPN 102.5 The Game.